If you need a new roof or a repair, Easton Roofing will take care of you. Estimates are always free and suggestions are built on integrity. Visit EastonRoofing.com for more information. Get back to business faster with Easton Roofing. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Pack your bags, start the car, and get on the road. It's time to go across the country 2 minutes at a time for the biggest stories of the day, where they're happening.
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Indianapolis, Indiana.
Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Cleveland, Ohio.
Boston, Mass.
Miami, Florida.
It's the 2 minute drill on the program.
Second half of the program begins right now. We're going around the country talking to the people, covering the stories where they are happening. The 2 minute drill brought to you by our friends at Twin Peaks, by Culligan. Twin Peaks is going to bring us our man, Adam Teicher, coming up next. Culligan, check out my buddy Bob. He's got you covered. If you want bottled water quality water, right there, right out of your faucet. Don't even have to drill a hole in the counter. They can put it where there's a little valve where it switches from one or the other. Their patented Bluetooth technology, you just press a button and you're getting bottled water quality water right from your current faucet. That's what my buddy Bob did for us. CulliganKansasCity.com/Bob. Let him make sure your family has the best tasting, best quality water anywhere around. CulliganKansasCity.com/Bob. Let's get things started in New York City. Dan Schwartzman, D Sports Media in New York, New York. Dan, how are you, sir?
I'm great, Seren. How are you?
Doing very good. Let's start with Kyrie Irving. How does this play out in the long run? Right now, not part of the team.
Good news is I made a deal with him. So every dollar of the $33.3 million he doesn't want, I will gladly take it because I have gotten vaccinated. But listen, Seren, I mean, this is just asinine. Let's not kid ourselves, okay? He's always been somewhat of a diva. And, yes, he's got his personal beliefs and does want to be vaccinated. I get it. But on the other hand, you know, this is a team that is favored to win the NBA championship, and rightfully so. It may be one of the greatest rosters we've ever seen in the free agency era, correct? I mean, think about the bench warmers they have on that team. LaMarcus Aldridge, Blake Griffin, guys like that. And here's a guy that, for his own beliefs, and by the way, he doesn't say he's anti-vaccine. He just wants to learn more about it. Well, how much more does he have to learn, right? How many more doctors does he have to speak with? And I think when you look at what he's done here, he's isolated himself because New York's kind of a liberal area, obviously, and the rate of vaccination in New York is very high right now. So he's kind of like an outlier. It's not a popular view that Kyrie Irving's taking.
I'm not fat, by the way. I want you to know that, Dan. I'm just waiting to learn more about nutrition.
Me too. I had a great burger right now.
Yeah, before I jump in and see if I'm going to go into this whole diet thing. Waiting. I need more information.
It's overrated, sir, and dieting's overrated.
Good. Okay. I'll stay on my current course. Listen, do they trade him? Do you think he's going to cave and actually get vaccinated, like once the checks aren't coming in there for a while and he realizes he's got a limited window of earning potential? And this, frankly, this will be it, because he's always been, you've always had to deal with a lot to have Kyrie Irving. And now he's got a championship caliber team, and he's been, is this the end of the road? Like, have we seen him play for the last time? Because who would risk anything of consequence in trying to trade for the guy or certainly pay him, knowing that whether it's him proclaiming the earth to be flat or
it's
this,
not.
Why would you mess with this guy? Is his career over?
No, I don't think his career is over here. He can't play for the Warriors. He can't play for the Knicks. Can't play for the Nets. Can't play for the Lakers. Can't play for the Clippers.
And the
he
Kings.
He can pretty much play anywhere. Kings, you're right, California. Kings, exactly, the Kings either. So the fact is, he can play anywhere else.
But not here's when the they problem. Go play those teams. That's
no,
quite a
can.
List.
No, you can. I think you can. In New York, for instance, it's just somebody for the home team can't play. Visitors can play. So as a visitor, he can play. As a home team guy, he can't play or practice in New York, Bay Area, Los Angeles, whatever it may be. Here's the problem, though, for the Nets. If you're going to trade Kyrie Irving right now, what are you going to get? You have no leverage, right? If I'm the Cleveland Cavaliers, not that he'd go back there, I'd say, hey, I'll give you a second-round pick. It's better than nothing, right? So, I mean, if you're the Nets, what are you losing here? I think you stick to your guns. At some point, I think he's got a cave. Who the heck's going to sit out for $33.3 million? I get he's filthy rich right now. But the fact is, that's a heck of a lot of money. If I'm making, $2.5 million a month, I'm going to miss that. And if I have to get two jabs in my arm to collect that money, sign me up. I'm getting two jabs. So I think in the end, he's going to cave, Seren. He's playing hardball now. But in the end, he's got more to lose than anybody else. I think he's going to have to cave. And look, the Nets have all the time right now until the playoffs. They're going to make the postseason because everybody in the NBA does. The fact is, though, you know, at some point, I think he's the one that's going to lose more money than the team.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, what are the expectations for the Nets and the Knicks? The Nets is championship or bust, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Nets to me, on paper, are the best team in basketball, especially if Kyrie Irving's playing. You know, you talk about that big three. I think we talked about this once before, Seren. Is there a better big three? And I don't think LeBron, Wade, and Bosch, because of Bosch, as good a player as he was, is as good as Durant, LeBron, and Kyrie. I think that is as good a big three we've ever seen. So they, on paper, are the best team in the NBA. Now, I think it is championship or bust for them, and Steve Nash should lose his job if they don't make it. Now, if Kyrie doesn't play, then he's got a reprieve. The Knicks, on the other hand, look, I think the Knicks are a solid team. They're a 40-some-odd win team. They're not a playoff team in terms of going far. They don't have the star power. Randle's not a number one guy. I think the Knicks are trying to build, but the fact is, in the NBA, you got to spend some money. You got to make the right moves. You have to bring in that superstar because that's how this league is built, right? You go out, you import a superstar. You hope you have a homegrown one there to add. And the fact is, they don't have that. So they'll be good. They'll cause some problems. They're the cat that kind of scratches at your leg for a while. But in the end, they're not good enough to win a championship.
Tell me. The Yankees making some changes to their coaching staff. Is that all that needs to happen for this team to take the next step?
No, Cashman's got to go. Boone's got to go. He's a horrendous manager. It's frankly insulting that they fired these three coaches, and here's why. First of all, is it Marcus Timms and PJ Pelletier's problem that guys can't hit? You know why Phil Nevin sent Aaron Judge in that situation at Fenway Park in the wild card game, right? Here's why. Now, I'm just saying this because this is what I believe. Joey Gallo's on deck. Joey Gallo is a terrible baseball player, right? He's a pop-up or a strikeout guy. Most likely, my money's on a strikeout. So Phil Nevin's looking, seeing Joey Gallo, as clueless as he is at the plate, waiting on deck, knowing there's no way in hell he's going to drive the runner in from third. So let me at least try this, and if Bogaerts makes a bad throw, we score a run. Now, Bogaerts made a great throw. Gallo's off the hook. But I would have sent him, too, because I don't trust Joey Gallo in that situation to drive it. In fact, I don't trust Joey Gallo to do anything. He was awful. He hit 160 for the Yankees, and he's free air conditioning for Fenway Park because he's going to strike out. That's good, right?
That one. I do. Free AC. That's good. I think that one's strong. Any reason to think that the Giants are going to rise up against the Rams with Saquon Barkley out? I mean, is it already about trying to get to the number one pick?
This is why you don't draft a running back second overall. I don't care how good Saquon Barkley is. He looks great physically, but he's never in a uniform, right? How often do you see him in a uniform? He misses half his games at this point, and he may miss a lot more than that. The reality is, look, the New York Giants are just ill-equipped. They're not built well. You know, Dave Gettleman is an old-school type of guy that likes to draft running backs high, and he likes to draft big, lumbering defensive tackles that are great run stoppers but can't get to a quarterback. Yes, I'm talking about Dexter Lawrence with first-round picks. They're a flawed team. They're just not that good. And really, with Saquon Barkley out, you lose such a dimension there, right? What is Sam Darnold without Christian McCaffrey? Average. Daniel Jones had that type of player in Saquon Barkley. He's not there right now. It's an average team at best and probably below average, to be realistic.
Yeah, not much to see there. Great stuff, Dan. We really appreciate it. Dan Schwartzman in New York City. Have yourself a great weekend, my friend. We'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good, friend. Talk to you soon, buddy.
You don't know by now. I'm talking about Chi-Town.
Mark Carman, fan-sided in WGN in Chicago, Illinois. Mark, how are you, sir?
I'm having a very, very, very inferiority complex going on, or Seren, going after New York. Tough one for me, but I'm getting over it. Bulls, Knicks, 93. We won.
Yeah, you'll do just fine, I have no doubt. Tell me, what's up next for the White Sox after being disposed of in the first round?
Very interesting question, Seren. Tony La Russa is going to be back. I'm not sure if everyone on his coaching staff will join him. Fundamentals were an issue for the White Sox. I wonder if they'll address the catcher, Yasmani Grandal, who is not good at blocking balls, catching balls, or throwing out would-be base stealers, but is effective at the plate. Would they bring in somebody to perhaps join him and maybe make Grandal more of the DH? That would be interesting, and they have questions at second base, right field, and probably need to add on to the rotation as well.
La Russa coming back, is that a popular choice amongst the fans?
I would say the answer to that is no. Tony was supposed to, and I've been backing him, Seren, like I believed that he wouldn't forget the game of baseball, despite the fact that he hadn't managed for a decade. He was in front offices with the Angels and the Red Sox and all of that. But the whole premise that he was going to give the White Sox an edge in the postseason, it just didn't happen. And if anything, he might have been a disadvantage, arguably. So it just did not work out in the playoffs. 93 wins, you can't fault him, right? Won the division, all that. Perhaps they should have pushed more down the stretch to get home field, but I really don't think they would have made a difference against the Astros, who clearly were the better team.
All right, the Chicago Bears. Tell me, what is, first of all, the frustration, Damian Williams headed to the COVID list. That means Khalil Herbert, former Kansas Jayhawk and Virginia Tech Hokie, will be the primary back for the Bears this weekend, right?
And not great, although he's played well, Seren.
I like him.
Traffic. Keeps the legs moving. First guy in the building, according to reports, last guy to leave. A lot of drive there. David Montgomery was the Bears' best offensive player. Of course, he's out for probably another couple of weeks, and luckily that wasn't an ACL tear and done for the season. And now you've got your backup running back in COVID, so down to the third string. But he actually ran better than Williams last week, so he should play well, but there's literally nothing behind him. And the bigger story is, can they unleash Justin Fields, who loves to go deep? I don't know how much you are into your next-gen stats, but according to them, Fields has thrown deep, by percentage-wise, the most of any quarterback in his 72 attempts this year. He's thrown 11 deep balls at 15%, tops in the league. So Bill Lazor, Bears offensive coordinator, has to unleash a guy who wants to go down the field.
He wants to go down the field, but he never throws it to someone who can catch it, right? Like, what's the problem? They no receivers? Or it's great he's throwing it far, but he's not throwing it accurate.
Well, he's hit now Darnell Mooney on a double move, and Allen Robinson is excellent, although he hasn't practiced all week. This should be out there. So does he have the burst to get separation on a deep ball? That's probably not going to be his game this week. So I just think that we still have to get Matt Nagy into his corner as the offensive non-guru, be the head coach, let Lazor develop the plays, quit implementing the game plan, and I think you'll see more and more of Justin Fields going down the field. It's not so much the receivers, sir, and it's more the offensive line cannot protect, so he doesn't have a great chance to really sit there and pick it apart like a lot of guys do in the NFL.
So Matt Nagy gets crushed there. Let me ask you a question. There's a coach that has had three losing seasons in 4 years, has got a losing record right now in the NFL, right? Matt Nagy's had, what, two winning seasons in three, two playoffs, and he's got a winning record right now?
Never been under 500, 12-4, 8-8, 8-8, made the playoffs 2 out of 3 years, yes.
So explain to me why Matt Nagy is considered the NFL's dunce and Kyle Shanahan, whom I was referencing his record, is somehow a guy who can do no wrong. Trey Lance doesn't look any better in that start for the 49ers than Matt Nagy.
So I think it comes down to a couple things. Number one, every time Matt Nagy goes to the press conference, he fails the press conference, right? I mean, he's just he is horrendous at presenting himself, and what he says doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Also, like, when the Bears had a good team that was supposed to go deep in the playoffs, they lost to the Eagles. Huge disappointment. He never developed the quarterback in Mitchell Trubisky. Now you've got Justin Fields. And early on in the year, you couldn't have put him in a worse spot. Dude throws for net 1 yard in a game. And so they're screaming about him. And I certainly, honestly, rightfully so. But he's doing better at getting out of the way and do what he's good at, which is communicating, being the rah-rah guy, and he's always let the defense do their thing. Vic Fangio, Chuck Pagano, now Sean Desai, who looks like a very good young defensive coordinator, by the way. He needs to do that on the offensive side of the football, and maybe he can have some staying power.
Is there any expectations for the Bulls this year?
They're on the uptick, Seren. No, they looked excellent in the preseason. DeMar DeRozan might be their best player. Lonzo Ball gives them a true point guard. And Zach LaVine is ready to take the next step in his career. I'm not super optimistic that they're going to be a viable Eastern Conference true contender, but they certainly look like a playoff team, which is a massive step up for the Bulls.
Mark Carman in Chicago. Great stuff, buddy. We appreciate it. Have yourself a great weekend.
You as well, Seren.
It's New York, Philly.
Eitan Shander is up next, Sports Map Radio, 1480 Fox Sports The Gambler, in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Eitan, how are you, sir?
Lovely. Saran, how are you doing this Friday?
Doing very good. Do we look at that game between the Eagles and Bucks and say, well, the Eagles showed some fight, there's some progress, or is it just another loss and disappointment?
I think if that happens on Sunday, we look at it like, wow, this Eagles team fought back for the second straight week. They came up short because, okay, it's Tom Brady. But you can extrapolate a lot from a game, I think, like that if it happens on Sunday. It happened on Thursday. It was a short week. It was the Bucs' third game in, what, 11 days? I mean, my goodness, no. It's not anything at all other than the Bucs, as anybody on the road, especially a favorite on a short week, is trying to get in and get out with exerting at least amount of energy. That's not the beatdown that Tampa put on Miami the week before, or the Sunday before, pardon me. So I don't necessarily take much away from it from a positive or really a total negative as well, outside of some smaller things in the game itself that are just patterns throughout the past couple of weeks. But it's just such a short week. It's a road favorite. They just want to get out of there with a win. And they were really in control of that football game the entire time.
Where is the fans' appreciation level for Nick Sirianni right now?
Appreciation level? I would say it's lower than the five least popular presidents in the history of politics since they started that poll. Here's the thing. The guy is doing himself so little favors by just refusing to run the football, and it just doesn't make any sense. And look, we've had Andy Reid here, and we know how much it takes for Andy to run the football. And from that standpoint, you know, we got used to it. This is on another level. And here's the crazy thing about it, Taren, is that he's got two talented kids that he can hand the ball off to. Miles Sanders, who is a starting running back in this NFL, and Kendi, one of the better ones with volume, and Kenny Gainwell, who they take as a rookie this year, who shows a lot of promise, especially in the two-minute drill in the red zone. It just doesn't make any sense that he would flat-out neglect these two guys at the expense of his quarterback, who he's basically asking to take on the rushing load. So it's one thing if these guys are hurt, Sanders, Gainwell are hurt, and hey, you know, Jalen, we just need you to run the football, man. We've got nobody back here. He's got two competent, young, healthy running backs there, and he doesn't run. And that's just one of, I think, like three or four issues that have gotten worse since the season has progressed. So I think that his approval rating is single digits right now. And he's the only one, really, because everybody else is like, okay, we'll give you time. You can grow from your mistakes. He seems to compound them.
Jalen Hurts, is he a popular guy, or are we soon going to be hearing about a Deshaun Watson trade?
Here's the thing. It's just out of his control. And I also don't think that he's necessarily getting the fairest shake, if you will, because the head coach isn't even running a legit game plan. I don't even think they're preparing each and every week. So Jalen Hurts is just out there on raw talent at this point, and he's going to have a spectacular season, which he hasn't had yet, and I don't think he'll get the help to have in order to prevent the Philadelphia Eagles from making a trade or trying to make a trade. And if it's not Deshaun Watson, that doesn't mean they give up. I think the Eagles realize they have three picks in the first round: Miami, Indianapolis, Philadelphia. Those could easily be three top 10 picks when this season is over. It's hard to think that two of them, and maybe a future pick and a player, aren't packaged in for a bid at Deshaun Watson, maybe Aaron Rodgers, whatever it may be, a sign and trade with somebody else. I just don't think that Jalen Hurts is in the long-term plans right now, unless he blows doors off, but then we're back to it's Nick Sirianni and nobody's really doing him any favors. I feel like a dog chasing my tail, but that's really the best way I can describe it.
Speaking of trades, or maybe lack thereof, how is Ben Simmons still a Philadelphia 76er?
Well, did you see the latest where apparently multiple reports inside the building suggested to Ramona Shelbourne of ESPN that they just didn't believe he purposely came into contact with a masseuse, basically lied about coming into contact with a masseuse who came into contact with someone who had COVID, so he could use that as an excuse not to play in Game 7 against the Hawks, which the Sixers lost, as we know, because he was going through the yips. And look, I don't know if it's true or not, but the crazy thing about it is that it's so believable because of how wacky everything is. Simmons is a sixer. He's not going to play in the preseason finale. He's not going to play in a regular season game, but he's with the team for just logistical purposes so that they can get him back and then trade him as part of the Sixers. But he's not going to play, and I can't imagine that he even gets close to playing. It's just bizarre, and that's the latest twist of it. Like, who in their right mind would fake exposure to COVID in order to get out of playing in a professional game, in a setting? It's just the latest of probably the craziest story in sports off the field that we've seen in a little bit. That's not, you know, like Gruden and nasty stuff.
Eitan Shander in Philadelphia. Great stuff, buddy. We appreciate it. Have yourself a great weekend. We'll talk soon.
You too, Seren. Anytime, brother.
Local talk plus national headlines from the people who are there. The 2-Minute Drill on the program with Seren Petro on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
He was covering the Chiefs the day Patrick Mahomes was born. He was covering the Chiefs the day Mahomes brought the Lombardi Trophy back to Kansas City.
Kansas City has won their first Super Bowl in 50 years. 50 years, a lifetime.
He's Adam Teicher of ESPN on the program.
Talking Chiefs football, Chiefs and football team. Noon on Sunday, we'll get you ready with the Central Bank pregame show. Myself, Curtis Siebold, Mark Boerichter will get you up and running. We talk some Chiefs football with Adam Teicher right now. Adam Teicher brought to you by Twin Peaks. No one does happy hour like Twin Peaks, whatever your preference. Everything from tequila cocktails, an extensive bourbon category, top shelf spirits and cocktails served over ice balls, local craft beers, handcrafted whiskey cocktails. It is a great, great drink menu. It is second to none. Check it out. Don't forget about those 29-degree man-sized draft beers at Twin Peaks. The made-from-scratch menu is fantastic. You can get it to go if you want to. Go to TwinPeaksRestaurant.com. All the TVs, never settle. Twin Peaks, we welcome Adam Teicher in to the program. Adam, how are you?
Good, Seren. How are you doing today?
Doing good. Three Chiefs not going to play in this game on Sunday. Chris Jones, Charvarius Ward, and Blake Bell. How much concern should there be? He said Charvarius Ward is close. I don't think we got any comment like that on Chris Jones, did we?
Yeah, he said he thought Jones was getting there as well. So I would think both those guys will be back next week. But who knows? I mean, I wouldn't count on it just yet. But I would think next week for both those two.
A wrist. That's all we know. Do we have any idea what beyond just a wrist the injury entails?
No, I don't. But clearly, it was affecting the way he was playing. So, the Chiefs are trying to get this. It wasn't working the way it was. So, clearly, the Chiefs are trying to get this back to what, back to where he can function and do the things he needs to do. And hey, if this means a good Chris Jones the last, 10 games of the season, whatever, he has to miss a couple. I think that's a pretty good trade for the Chiefs.
In 2019, they had to play a couple of games, two or three, without Chris Jones. They actually were effective at times. Came what we called the two fatties in a blitz was kind of the mindset. They were clogging things up with the big guys on the inside, and then they would blitz to try to create the pressure. Right now, it doesn't look like they can do anything without Chris Jones. Is there any hope that this is, even though it is a lesser offense that they're going up against here with Washington, any hope that this defense is going to rise up to the moment?
Yeah, that's the difference between the team the Chiefs are playing on Sunday and their first five opponents. Is clearly this is a different offensive team. They're really beat up. They're going to have Washington's going to have a couple of their offensive line starters out, at least one and maybe two of their top receivers out. So they're clearly at a disadvantage. They've got a backup playing quarterback right now. I mean, this is not in the Josh Allen, Baker Mayfield, or Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert, and I'll throw Jalen Hurts in there. I think the Chiefs are taking a step down in quarterback here. So this should be a game where the Chiefs can survive with what they have defensively before they, have to go to play against Derrick Henry next week. But, this should be a game where the Chiefs, let's put it this way. If they can't have just modest success against this offensive opponent, you have to wonder when it's ever going to happen for him.
Yeah, that is kind of the mindset, right? That, like, okay, not going to be the number one seed, not going to be, you know, the heavy favorite to win, but this is still a playoff team. That's the mindset of everybody. If they don't beat Washington, that's all gone, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, then you're looking maybe at a slippery slope. Then, I mean, they have to beat this team. You know, this is a team they have to take care of. And yeah, I mean, I think, you know, hey, number one seed, they're not going to get that. They might not even win the AFC West. But who wants to play if the Chiefs are playing well in the playoffs? If they can, you know, get this thing to where they're it's rolling, even if they don't have a great record or they're not the top seed or you know, they have to go on the road because they didn't win their division. Who wants to play the Chiefs? Even then, you know. So, you know, I feel like there's still a lot to play for right now, even though if, you know, some of those, you know, those big goals that they have aren't going to be achieved in terms of, you know, winning a division maybe or being a number one seed. But there's still a lot to play for. You know, if they can get this thing turned around to where they're playing just modest defense, then maybe the Chiefs will have something by the end of the season.
But that's always the question. If they get it turned around, who wants to play the Kansas City Chiefs in the playoffs? Let me take out one part of that, the if.
Yeah.
Who wants to play the Kansas City Chiefs in the playoffs? I don't think there's any shortage of hands that will go in the air right now.
No, not in the AFC. I mean, three teams have already beaten them, right, in the AFC. So, the way they're playing defensively, I think everybody would like a shot at the Chiefs right now. And, you know, I don't feel like these turnover issues are going to stick with the Chiefs, but, you know, maybe it is who they are. When they can't get, you know, 40 and 50-yard chunk plays, the teams, when they can't get those, maybe they are going to be turning the ball over or killing themselves with penalties or things like that. So they have to get that turned around too. But I'm confident they can do that. I don't think that their problems that will wreck their season are on offense right now. It's the other side of the ball. And what kind of hope do you have over there?
Steve Spagnuolo was grilled pretty good at the press conference, his press conference this week. Where do you think he's at right now? I mean, did you get a sense that it's, you know, his mindset was it's time to try some new things, or are we going to see the same old, because to this point, I can't see what real adjustments have been made.
Yeah, I do think there's a chance you can see some personnel changes this week. And I'm mainly referring to Juan Thornhill and Dan Sorensen. I think there's a chance that maybe they swap the roles for those guys, or at least, you know, to where Thornhill is the one getting most of the playing time, and Sorensen, you know, comes in when they, you know, in certain packages. I think there's a chance you could see that this week. Because you know, the Chiefs know what happened with Sorensen and how he's been playing, and I just don't know how he ever got to be an every down guy for them. I just always thought that's kind of an odd fit for what they try to do. Not to say he can't have some value for the Chiefs, I think he does. But I do think maybe it is time they're going to do some things differently in that regard.
You mentioned Sorensen. He was brought up specifically, and I thought a good point was made by Steve Spagnuolo that, like, look, when he makes a big mistake, like the Dawson Knox blown coverage, it shows. Everybody knows it. He said, but, you know, we don't hear everybody, you know, when he goes and he does a good job covering, right? The ball doesn't go that way, and so nobody really says anything about the guy. I think that's a fair point, right? No one, but I think, you know, if I were Steve Spagnuolo's friend or confidant on the team or in the organization, I'd say, look, you know, you're kidding yourself here, right? You can't talk about we want to eliminate explosive plays, but then point to the times that he does a good job as a reason why to overlook and move past all of the explosive plays that Dan Sorensen seems to be on the wrong side of. Right? Like, this has become almost like I'm going to win with Dan Sorensen because I'm not going to let the media tell me how to coach this team. Like, it is, I mean, I'm with you. Dan Sorensen was signed to be depth And he was a tremendous signing for this organization. And he rose up to be a great special teams player and have a role in nickel and dime coverages. And every down safety is something that's been a deficiency of this football team. Either Steve Spagnuolo and Sam Madison's ability to coach the safety position to Juan Thornhill, or just a deficiency in Brett Veach and his front office to get talent. Dan Sorensen should never have been an every down player. Right? That's a failure somewhere, right?
Yeah, particularly in an era right after the Chiefs signed Tyrann Mathieu and drafted Juan Thornhill in the second round. I mean, yes, it is. And
by the way, drafted Dorian – one more, sorry, Adam, to cut you off there, but drafted Dorian O'Daniel, and I remember, I'll never forget the conversations there, was that he was a you know, the vision for him. Because I remember saying, that looks like a special teams player in the third round. The vision was that he was a Dan Sorensen-like player. That, you know, it seemed like even Dorian O'Daniel was drafted to replace Dan Sorensen. And he couldn't, he's never been put on the field. So he saw so little time on the field that people breezed past the fact that they took a linebacker in the third round who has played a handful of snaps on defense his entire career.
Yeah. So, you know, there are a lot of things that Chiefs have done wrong there in terms of that, and it's why part of the reason why they are where they are. I mean, what if Breland Speaks was a decent, just a decent, not necessarily even a great pass rusher? What if he was helping right now? So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of places you can look for that kind of stuff. But you know, the Thornhill one is one of the more mysterious because you know, is it Brett Veach, and did they judge him wrong, or is he being coached up wrong? Did Thornhill just lose something with the injury? I mean, where's been the failure there? But I don't think it's too late. I mean, you know, hey, maybe as soon as Sunday, Juan Thornhill might still someday play some good football for the Chiefs.
If he does, that's an indictment over the last 2 years, though.
Well, you know, hey, we don't know. You know, last year it certainly didn't look like he was physically what he, you know, what we knew him as. So I don't know about last year. This year, maybe so. I mean, you know, maybe he should have been playing, and maybe the Chiefs have coughed up a game or more because they haven't put him in the lineup. But let's see how he does. I mean, I don't think he's that big of a difference maker. I don't think he's in all by himself going to solve all the Chiefs' problems. I mean, these things run pretty deep. So, you know, they need Juan Thornhill or Dan Sorensen playing well, plus a bunch of other guys picking their games up, too.
10 years removed from Adrian Peterson coming back from an ACL injury in 9 months and rushing for 2,000 yards for the Chiefs organization to still need 2 years to get a guy's knee right. Who the blank do you fire there?
I don't know. I mean, he looked in camp like he was a better player. You know, he was physically okay. So I don't know if it was necessarily 2 years for him.
Well, you're saying last year he didn't look physically right. I mean,
well, yeah, I mean, it was, yeah, but you remember he had the initial injury right around New Year's. I mean, he was, you know, when the season started, he was only at about 9 months. So
right where Adrian Peterson was.
And I don't know if it was physically it was an issue with him. You know, it may have been a, you know, more of a mental thing that he just didn't trust the thing. And, you know, guys can be in different places on those kinds of things.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, to me, there's a disconnect there. I'm, you know, personnel, medical staff, sports mental side, you know, sports psychology side, coaching. I don't know, but like, the problem is somebody's got to want to find the answer. Right. And if everybody's your best friend, you don't really go looking for it. Right. I mean, like, is there a problem that like they've gotten with the success? Everybody's too chummy around there. And like the accountability's kind of gone out the window because everybody's got a track record and a history with each other. I mean, they all have came with Andy Reid. Everyone I just questioned, Rick Burkhalter, Brett Veach, Steve Spagnuolo, they all were in Philadelphia. I mean, is it time that, you know, Clark Hunt needs to be like, Andy, are you missing some obvious things here?
Yeah. Well, I mean, if questions aren't being asked on some of these things, and in particular, where did we go wrong with Juan Thornhill, then the Chiefs are in some trouble. I mean, they're not going to, you know, win all these titles that we thought just a few years ago they were going to win with Patrick Mahomes at their quarterback. If they're not asking those questions, I mean, they can't repeat the Juan Thornhill I hesitate to call it a mistake, but so far it hasn't worked out like the Chiefs hoped. I mean, it's not over yet. So maybe he can turn this thing around. But if it doesn't, you know, then where do we go wrong on this? Do we draft the wrong guy? Did we not coach him upright? What you know, was the surgery botched? I mean, where did we go wrong on this that we went where Juan Thornhill gave us a good rookie year and nothing else? And if those questions aren't being asked, then the Chiefs are going to have some trouble.
Is asking the question of when Frank Clark's going to play better really just a failure on the part of anybody trying to analyze this team? And it is really the question, are we down to the point of why is he ever on the field?
Well,
he's the lowest graded edge player, according to PFF.
Yep. Yeah. And you know, he needs to be better. You know, he missed a lot of camp. I'm willing to give him a little bit of a grace period here, but it can't be much longer given his contract and more so the way the Chiefs need him to play well right now. So, you know, that's another one that questions need to be asked. Where did we go wrong? Did we just misjudge his character and he just got kind of fat and happy with the contract we gave him? Or did we misjudge him as a player from what he was in Seattle? Was his scheme fit? You know, those things have to be asked every single time you miss on a guy. And so far, that one's not looking very good either.
Steve Spagnuolo sidestepped the question about Tyrann Mathieu making his gestures. He's very animated out there on the field when things go wrong in coverages, flailing his arms. You know, against the Bills, it was throwing his hands on his head like, oh, my God, I can't believe this just happened. Steve Spagnuolo said, well, you'll have to talk to him, which, of course, the Chiefs control whether or not you can talk to him. So I thought that was a great answer. There, knowing full well that nobody could then follow up on what it was he asked everybody to do. What do you make of Tyrann Mathieu and his animated reactions to the mistakes that are happening on defense?
Yeah, well, I mean, he's frustrated. I mean, you know, he's playing well, and, you know, this is not what he signed up for, this kind of stuff. I mean, no, I wouldn't want to be a part of this if I were him because, you know, I think if there's anybody on defense who's blameless in what's going on, it's probably him, right? So he's frustrated. I mean, he was asked about it after the game. He did come out and talk after the game, and, you know, he basically said he does that when they make a good play, too, which I have not seen. But, maybe, you know, so he's frustrated, you know. I mean, and I don't blame him. I mean, this has caught a lot of people by surprise, the way the Chiefs are playing defensively. No one thought they'd be like this. I mean, they thought it would be closer to the number one defense than what they are now. So, you know, this has caught a lot of people by surprise, and I think he's one of them. He seemed to think that when this season got going that they'd be in pretty good shape defensively, and clearly he was wrong about that.
Trade deadline's looming before long. Teams are a little bit more active nowadays than they've been in the past, I don't think. I mean, I guess maybe they could be going for a Chandler Jones, who has 5 sacks, all of which came in the first game, by the way, I'll point out. But, you know, his name has been bandied about as possibly in trade targets. I don't think that's going to be the case for the Chiefs because I don't think they have any kind of cap room to make those kind of moves. But do you expect them to be aggressive and ultimately get something done to try to get some help for the defensive side of the ball?
Yeah, I just don't know how they can. You know, you hit on it. They just don't have cap room to you know, they couldn't get involved with Stephon Gilmore, and they couldn't get involved with Jalen Smith. And, you know, and those guys, the price tag was very relatively small, but they couldn't get involved with them. So, and I just don't know how much in terms of good draft picks they want to be mortgaging in the future because we know this team's got a ton of needs. And can't afford to be flushing draft picks. So I just don't see it. I think the combination of those two things makes it unlikely. But, hey, we'll see. You know, we still have another, 3 weeks, I guess it is, before the trade deadline. So something could happen.
Yeah, I think if they do, it'll be somebody on the, you know, somebody in a first contract. Like basically like another Mike Hughes, right? A DeAndre Baker. Like that'll be the kind of guy that I can see them making a move for. I'm with you. They can't afford much. So if they're going to make a move, you know, it's going to have to be, you know, somebody on the cheap. And to me, those are, you know, late first rounds, early second round guys that haven't panned out elsewhere that they probably like coming out of college that they go, okay, let's get them with our guys. Let's get them with our coaching staff and see if we can make this work.
Yeah, so I think that would be the kind of guy if it was. I mean, I don't see it being a Chandler Jones or any kind of huge high impact guy. But hey, maybe there's somebody out there who could play a lesser role who could still help him and make him a better team.
We're talking to Adam Teicher here in the program from ESPN, brought to you by our friends at Twin Peaks. All right, Adam, let's get to our Final Four. It's brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System. I will start you with this. What's your prediction on the game?
I'll take the Chiefs. I got them 37-31. I just don't see them being able, even with the troubles we talked about Washington's having on offense with backup quarterback, I just still don't see them being in any kind of shutdown mode. So I feel like they're going to need another big number to win this game. So I'll call it 37-31.
Frank Clark's sack total at the end of the year is what?
No. Well, I was optimistic he was going to get this thing going, but now I just don't know. I'll say, 11 or 12
11.
Games left? 12, no, 12 games left.
Yes.
I'll say, give me 4 sacks for Frank Clark.
Wow, that's optimistic. Wow.
Yeah, well, I'm not, it might be.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, who leads the Chiefs in rushing in this game?
In this game, I'll go with Darrell Williams. You know what? No, I'm going to go with Pat Mahomes.
There you go.
I'll go with Mahomes.
Yeah, yep. I think so too. And I don't think that's a horrible thing either. I can see. I think McKinnon's going to get as much playing time as Darrell Williams. Derek Gore will probably even get some carries. But Mahomes, with as bad as that pass defense is for the football team, they're going to be turning and running a lot. And I think that opens up a lot of like, whoops, I'll skip this guy and I'll run for the 8 yards in the first down. I think we're going to see a lot of that for Patrick Mahomes. I think you nailed it. It's going to be Patrick Mahomes. 17.5, by the way, his over-under on rushing in this game. Give me the over. Give me the over. Chiefs record right now at the end of the season will be what? Let's take a pulse on this. What are you feeling?
Okay, they got 12 games left, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, 2-3
say,
right now.
Wow, I'll go 8-4 the rest of the way. So where does that make them?
10-7?
10-7.
10-7. What a ray of sunshine. Adam Teicher is here on a Friday. Adam, great stuff, buddy. We always appreciate it. We'll be listening to you next week on the Border Patrol in the Zone. And then, of course, when we get back to you on AF Friday, my friend. Great work.
Good stuff, sir. I'll talk to you next week.
All right. Adam Teicher from ESPN does a great job covering the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll take a break. More on the Chiefs next here on the program.
The program with Soren Petro.
And unbeknownst to me, I pull it off the spool. It hits and rolls out from under the stall.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, the Jazz into the hour answer on this date in 1988. Kurt Gibson's World Series homer off Dennis Eckersley. I asked who was on base. It was former Oakland A Mike Davis.
Question sucks. This is one where we just go, you know what, 15 a week, you come up with 15 gems.
Who's Mike Davis?
Exactly.
So on this date, I'm like, is there anything from that game?
The question did suck.
Question suck.
Who was on deck?
It's like I said, but it's okay. Exactly. We'll take them. 14 gems, mission accomplished.
I don't know if they've all been gems.
All were gems. They were all gems.
Well, yeah, the good chumps questions mixed in there.
This was. See, is this a gem?
Next one a turd, too.
Better than the last one.
Coasting home on fumes here on a Friday. 13
out of 15, Kay. I see how it is.
It's at least topical.
Well, there you go. We'll see. We'll be the judge.
And it's actually from the release that you and I both read.
Okay.
So you'll know what it was.
Very good.
The burnt end of the hour question. Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue in Olathe, Leawood, and the original in the gas station at 47th and Mission.
All right, the Bills have scored 35 points in 4 straight games. How many teams since the merger have had a longer streak? Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue.
The question sucked, okay?